This is the Diving to Malaysia Travel Podcast, Episode 4 with Diving to Malaysia founder Sharon Gulay. In today's episode, we're discussing your perfect first trip itinerary. We're going into details of the places you'll go, how many days to spend there, where to stay, what to do, everything you need to know to plan your itinerary. It'll give you a great overview of Peninsula Malaysia with all the things you've probably pictured or heard about before. However, because there is so much to share in this itinerary and I wanted to give you a lot of detail, we're doing this over two parts. So this is the first part and we're going to cover the first week of your perfect first trip Malaysia itinerary. By the end of these two episodes, you'll be so much closer to taking your dream trip to Malaysia with a much better idea of what you're going to do.
Welcome to the Dive into Malaysia Travel Podcast, the place to be when you're dreaming and planning all the awesome adventures you could have in Malaysia. Each week on the show, your host Sharon will take you from underwater adventures in one of Malaysia's marine parks to standing on top of the world in Merdeka 118 in KL to eating the best food you'll experience in your life at a hawker centre, to planning how to get from A to B and where to stay. It's all here.
So let's talk about what you're going to do on your first trip to Malaysia. Of course, although I'm specifically talking about first trips in this episode, you can definitely follow this itinerary for your second, third, or 20th time in this great country. I'm more focused on first trips because this is your most typical itinerary that usually takes place when people first travel to Malaysia, because it takes in all the popular hotspots and places you've no doubt heard of before and might have on your must-visit list. To me, a first trip for most people isn't about getting off the beaten track and visiting headhunter tribes in Sarawak, although you totally should visit Sarawak if you can. But generally, it's getting a great overview of the country that you'll love as easily and as superbly as possible, and then you can come back again to do places that are a little more adventurous or out of the way. Now, I'm basing this itinerary off you having 2 weeks available. If you have less time, cut out the places that seem less interesting to you. I'm also not going to talk about every single thing you could do in each place, as I don't have a week to record this podcast, and that would be overwhelming anyway. Each of these places will have whole episodes on the podcast at some point, and there's also plenty more information that goes really in-depth on diveintomalaysia.com. For now, you only need an overview of what you can do with the time you have on your first trip. I'm still going over a lot of details, and like I said, it is all available on the website at diveintomalaysia.com. Or even better, you could consider my Peninsula Malaysia Itinerary Planner, because this episode is sponsored by this planner. It has everything you need to quickly and easily plan your trip, including two-page PDFs on each of the places we talk about today, as well as many others, that give you an exact itinerary for each place and more information. It's all planned so it has everything you need quickly and painlessly to tailor your own perfect itinerary for Malaysia. Now, this only costs $29 Singapore and you can find it at diveintomalaysia.com/planner. Now, before we dive into everything related to your first trip itinerary, remember you can find today's show notes at diveintomalaysia.com/episode4. You know, we are covering a lot of things and I have links to everything we talk about today, including my itinerary planner and some free sample itineraries to help you get this all worked out. So in this itinerary, you're going to see the views from the world's tallest twin towers in the world, Petronas Towers or Merdeka 118, the second tallest building in the world, if that's open at the time you visit. It's just about nearly opened at the time that I'm recording this. You're going to visit Langkawi's world famous and absolutely gorgeous beaches. You're going to explore the UNESCO World Heritage listed old towns of Georgetown in Penang and Malacca. And you're going to cool down in the Cameron Highlands and see completely different scenery in Malaysia's tea plantations. Of course, you're going to eat fantastic food, maybe the best you'll ever taste, at least until you return to Malaysia next time. Sound fantastic? Let's start. Now, you're likely to fly into KL or Singapore, but no matter where you pick to fly into out of those options, I'm going to suggest starting your adventure in Malacca instead of Kuala Lumpur. It's located between Kuala Lumpur and Singapore, and it's only about an hour and a half southeast from Kuala Lumpur International Airport if it's not a peak time to drive. Now, you can get a taxi there from either location all the way to your hotel in Malacca without paying a crazy amount, and I can book that for you from either Singapore or Kuala Lumpur Airport. Or there's also direct buses from either city as well as from Kuala Lumpur International Airport. Now, if you want any more information on this, again, as well as everything else I talk about, make sure you go to the show notes at diveintomalaysia.com/episode4. Now, I'm recommending Malacca for 2 nights. A full day is really enough to see all the main attractions in Malacca, but I'm going to assume that you arrive later in the day on your first day, or you'll just need some rest time. You know, many of us have to travel a long way to get to Malaysia. 2 nights will make all of this far less stressful. Now, a great place to stay in Malacca is Casa del Rio Malacca Hotel. It's in a great spot. It's an easy walk from most attractions. It has a great pool. You know, a pool is always a really big bonus when you're staying in Malaysia, thanks to all the heat and humidity you're going to deal with. You know, there's nothing better after a day of sightseeing, in my opinion, than, you know, having a bit of a pool swim to like cool down, relax before, you know, head out and get to the night markets to eat some great food. Now, this hotel has a great resort vibe, even though it's in the middle of the city. It's 5-star and a great price for what I think is the best place to stay. When I was writing notes for this podcast, I actually put in a random date into Agoda, and it was around 500 ringgit, which I think is a great price for what you get. A mid-range option, which is also walking distance to some of the attractions, is the Hatton Hotel. We've had a good stay here with our kids. It's across the road from the shopping centre, which we found handy too. But anyway, you aren't in Malacca to see the hotels. Imagine, you've just arrived in Malaysia, you've headed straight to Malacca, and you leave your hotel for the first time. It's in the early evening and there's a buzz in the street, the smell of satay in the air, and you're excited to head out and explore this UNESCO World Heritage listed centre. You head straight for Jonca Street for street food, shopping and nightlife. If it's a Friday, Saturday or Sunday night, you'll enjoy the great night markets here. So why visit Malacca? Well, there's a few reasons in addition to its historical significance that is recognised by UNESCO. It was once a centre of trade, which you can still see in its unique architecture and cultural diversity. It's famous for its food, so make sure you try its unique Nyonya cuisine, which is a blend of Chinese and Malay flavours. It's home to many cultural attractions, including museums, galleries, temples and more, and has some lovely scenery like by the Malacca River. Malacca is also known for its unique handicrafts and local products, so it's great for shoppers too. Now, if you have time on your first day, do a Malacca River cruise for a good starting point for your time in the city. This river was once described as the Venice of the East with traders from Europe and Asia in the late 16th century. Cruises go past colonial buildings, old shophouses, settlements, street art, and historic bridges. Now, on your first full day in Malacca, you are going to start with exploring the Sultanate Palace and then work your way through the city's main museums, temples, and more. Now, this palace was built in 1985 as a replica of the wooden palace that once belonged to Sultan Mansur Shah, the ruler of Malacca, between 1456 and 1477. It's now a cultural museum showcasing Malay history, and it's definitely worth a stop. Next up is Puerta de Santiago, which is very close by. In fact, everything I'm just running through is walking distance from each other, so you can definitely just walk around all these sites, although it will be a little hot. Now, this historical monument was built in 1511 as a fortress. Today, only a small gatehouse remains, but it is the oldest surviving European structure in Asia. Also nearby is St. Paul's Church. These ruins are from the oldest church in Southeast Asia, built in 1521 by the Portuguese. The top of the hill also offers a great view of Malacca and its coastlines. Next up is Stadhash, the massive, bright terracotta red riverfront building that you may have seen in photos before. It seems to be like the typical Malacca photo shot is of this building. And this dates back to 1650 and was built during the Dutch colonial period. Again, you can easily walk here from the other attractions, and then you can walk on to Baba and Nyonya Heritage Museum, which is a collection of 3 restored houses arranged to look like a typical 19th century Baba Nyonya residence. Baba Nyonya was a name given to the affluent Chinese Malays in the area. It's then time to temple hop with the Chinese temple, Cheng Hun Teng Temple, the mosque, Kampung Kling, and the Hindu temple, and sorry, I'm probably going to get this name wrong, Sri Poyatha Venayaga Murthy Temple. These are all close together and help symbolise how the different cultures in Malacca live in harmony. Of course, during the day, you'll want to fit in a great lunch at a Nyonya restaurant to try the local cuisine, and in the evening, you can head back to Jonca Street. The next day, it's time to head on to the capital, Kuala Lumpur, for a 3-night stop. I recommend at least 3 nights in Kuala Lumpur for any itinerary because it's enough time to get a great overview of the city. However, you could spend a lot longer as there are a lot of options of things to do here. If you're on a short time frame from your trip, you could also skip staying in Malacca and day trip from Kuala Lumpur. Now, to get between Malacca and Kuala Lumpur, your best options are to take a private taxi or a bus. Now, I can book you a private taxi if you go to malaysiataxi.com, which is the quickest and easiest way as it will transfer directly between your hotels. Otherwise, you can use the Grab Taxi app to get a taxi to the bus station in Malacca and take a bus to Kuala Lumpur. Now, the buses in Malaysia in general are great and quite comfortable. Now, in this itinerary, I assume you arrive in the afternoon in Kuala Lumpur, ready to check in. Now, for a great couple of hotel options, I love Traders Hotel right in KLCC, which stands for Kuala Lumpur City Centre. It's like the heart of the city. This is right by the massive park that's at home there. And I highly recommend you pay extra for a room with a view of the Petronas Towers. It's like straight out your window. It's so iconic and it's really amazing to walk into your hotel room on arrival and just see that right in front of you. Or again in the evening, I remember when I stayed here a few months ago, it was amazing when I first arrived, you know, and then I went out, I came back, it's nighttime and it was like all lit up and it was just totally amazing again. Now, this is a 5-star hotel and it is very nice. There's nothing to complain about at all. There's basically a rooftop pool and bar as well called the Sky Bar, which we're going to visit as part of this itinerary too, as well as everything you would expect from a 5-star hotel. A cheaper option is the mid-range Berjaya Times Square Hotel. I also love this hotel, especially when I'm traveling with my kids, as it's on top of the massive Berjaya Times Square shopping center, which makes everything so easy, okay, especially if you're with a family. There are apartment-style rooms, hotel-style rooms, a huge pool and more. You know, the shopping center downstairs, you can quickly and easily get something to eat, go shopping. There's even an indoor theme park in that shopping center. So imagine, you leave your hotel and you're soon looking up at the iconic Petronas Twin Towers before taking the elevators up to the bridge between the buildings for an amazing city view. You think nothing can top this, and then you're having sunset drinks at Sky Bar, watching the sunset over the towers and the surrounding parkland. You then head to Jalan Alor Food Street and find it hard to pick where to eat with all the amazing smells and dishes surrounding you. This is KL. You can't wait to wake up tomorrow and discover more. So why should you visit Kuala Lumpur? You know, why is it on this itinerary? Honestly, there are so many reasons. There's the iconic landmarks such as Petronas Twin Towers and KL Tower and the just being finished Merdeka 118, which I'm sure will become an icon. There's the food. Wow, it's really amazing. So many cuisines, great street food, and it's all so affordable. I really love it. There's an interesting mix of cultures and religions, and any visit should include visiting the different Malay, Chinese, and Indian areas and eating their foods, of course, to experience this. There's fantastic shopping with seemingly endless shopping centres in Bukit Bintang. There's also some lovely pockets of nature in the city, like the very cool KL Bird Park, the Echo Park, and more. KL is also somewhat in the centre of peninsula Malaysia, so it's very easy to visit and shouldn't be missed on a first visit. So it's your first afternoon in KL, and what should we do? Well, I recommend you take a Grab taxi straight to KLCC, so Kuala Lumpur City Centre and the Petronas Towers. You know, let's knock off that massive icon first. I recommend you buy your ticket at least a few days in advance to make sure you can go up. The link is in the show notes to get tickets. With this ticket, you can visit the observation deck on the 86th floor, and you can also walk over the bridge between the two towers, which is at the 41st floor. Now, if you're listening to this after Merdeka 118 opens, consider visiting there instead and going up to the viewing platform there. I imagine it'll be amazing. Afterwards, head outside to KLCC Park at the base. It's a great place to get photo of the towers and to enjoy KL. It seems to have a really great vibe, especially in the late afternoon and early evening. Just before sunset, head to Sky Bar in the Traders Hotel, which is an easy walk across the park, and have a drink as you watch the sunset over unmatched views of Petronas. Finally, when it gets dark, which is reasonably early, watch the Symphony Fountain Light Show. This is in the lake in KLCC Park, just opposite the entrance to Suria KLCC, which is the big shopping centre. There is a great show and it runs at various times. Then take a taxi or go on a longer walk to Jalan Alor Food Street and eat yourself silly. This place is great for trying lots of fabulous KL cuisine very easily. Now the next day, you're going to see more of Kuala Lumpur, including its rainforest. You're going to go shopping and eat a ton of great food, of course. So start the day at KL Tower for fabulous views over Kuala Lumpur. Now located at the base of KL Tower is the Bukit Nanas Forest Reserve, where you can visit the KL Forest Eco Park. This slice of tropical rainforest in the middle of KL gives you the opportunity to see wildlife and view the rainforest canopy and surrounding city from the canopy walk. It's then time to head to the Shops of Bukit Bintang KL Shopping District. Start at Berjaya Times Square, one of the largest shopping centres. There are many eating options here for lunch, as well as an indoor theme park. If you want more shops, you can also head to Pavilion Kuala Lumpur, Lot 10 or Star Hill Gallery if you want a bit of glamour. There's quite a lot of options just in this small part of KL. When your tummy starts rumbling for dinner, it's time to head to KL's Little India, otherwise known as Brickfields by KL Central. This is a perfect place to enjoy dinner after you explore the colourful streets. On your final full day in KL, you're going to learn more about Malaysia's past while visiting KL's Green Heart at Lake Gardens and bustling Chinatown. Start today at the fabulous KL Bird Park, where you won't just see an amazing amount of birds, but get to enjoy the huge and beautiful gardens found here. Next stop is the huge National Mosque. You can enter outside of prayer times and there are robes to borrow if needed. The Islamic Arts Museum is up next with one of the best collections of Islamic decorative arts in the world. There's a good Middle Eastern restaurant here if you're ready for lunch. The final stop in this area is the National Museum, where you can learn more about Malaysia's history. It's a short walk between all the attractions mentioned so far, but note this is a hilly area, so the path can be more difficult than it seems and you may want to get a taxi if you're struggling. In the late afternoon, head to Chinatown. This area is great for atmosphere, market shopping and eating, as well as having a couple of temples worth a visit. Start at the Central Market, the perfect place to buy Malaysian arts and crafts. Next, head to Sin Zi Sin Ya Temple, KL's largest Chinese temple. Then visit Sri Mahamariamman Temple, sorry for my mispronunciation, a lively Hindu temple. Finally, enjoy Petaling Street Market. This is the perfect place to buy cheap souvenirs or counterfeit goods and to feast on a Chinese meal for dinner. Chinatown is also a good area to have a few drinks, since the majority of establishments are Chinese. Easy to find bars, but for something more special, try a hidden speakeasy like PS150. The next day, you're going to wake up sad because your KL adventure is nearly over, but it won't last long as there is plenty coming up. Before leaving Kuala Lumpur, head to Merdeka, or Independence as it's known in English, Square, where the Malaysian flag was raised for Malaysian independence from the British for the first time in 1957. There is an enormous flag here today, as well as some grand buildings surrounding the square. Then head on to Jamek Mosque, a short walk away. You can visit inside outside of prayer times if you dress conservatively. I recommend you have an early lunch before travelling on to Cameron Highlands for 2 nights. A full day in this area is enough to get a really great experience. Now you can get to the Cameron Highlands from Kuala Lumpur by bus or private taxi. Again, private taxi is the easiest, fastest and most comfortable option, and I can book it for you if you go to malaysiataxi.com. Now a taxi will take about 3 hours, of course dependent on traffic, which is why it is good to do a couple of things in the morning in KL and not leave first thing so you can miss that awful morning peak hour. Or you can catch a bus from the TBS bus terminal in Kuala Lumpur, which takes about 5 hours, plus about half an hour to get to the terminal and some time at the end. So with an early lunch, you can be in the Cameron Highlands for dinner. For a couple of hotel options, firstly consider the Lake House for the top experience. It is a colonial-style boutique hotel with its own historic charm. Nestled in a hillside overlooking a lake, it's like a massive Tudor-style country home with 19 stylish rooms and suites filled with antique decor, a colonial-era furnishing, and modern-day amenities such as an espresso machine. It'll really make your stay. For a mid-range option in a handy location, we've enjoyed the Nova Highlands Resort and Residence. It's an easy place to stay and also has great apartments, which are fantastic for larger families like mine. Imagine, you're sitting on a deck overlooking gorgeous terraced hill of a tea plantation, sitting in the cool air, sipping from a cup of great hot tea as you eat a scone. Are you really in Malaysia? Yes, you're in the Cameron Highlands. So why visit the Cameron Highlands? It's a popular hill station in Malaysia with a cooler climate than you'll experience elsewhere on this trip, thanks to being located 1,200 to 2,000 metres above sea level. There's beautiful scenery and it's famous for its views and tea plantations. There's hiking, small farms to visit, the tea plantations, as well as the possibility to visit the Orang Asli, the indigenous people of Malaysia. You can learn more about their culture and way of life. Food-wise, this area is known for its fresh produce like strawberries, tea and vegetables, and it's the place to sit back and take in the scenery with tea and scones. Now, on your first night, it's going to be an early evening getting ready to explore tomorrow. Or if it's a Friday, Saturday or Sunday night, you can head to the Golden Hills Night Market. For your first full day, you're going to start with some quintessential Cameron Highlands experiences by visiting Cameron Highlands Butterfly Garden, Ifengu Bee Farm, so that was a bee farm, and Raju Hill Strawberry Farm. They're all relatively close together and you'll get to experience some of the local bees, butterflies and pick some yummy strawberries. Then head to the Delicious and Happiness Kitchen for lunch, which is known for its fabulous Chinese food. Visit the nearby Sampo Temple, which houses one of the largest Buddhas in the country, before heading to Bo Tea Plantation. Founded in 1929, the Bo Tea Company is one of Malaysia's famous tea brands. you can learn the process of how tea is harvested and grown. There's also a tea shop found where you can taste a couple of the signature brews and even buy a couple of packets as a souvenir. But the best part of a visit here has to be the breathtaking scenery with lush green terraces and more. After checking out the exhibition part, make sure you grab a cup of tea and a scone or cake and just sit there and soak it in. Tonight, I recommend having a steamboat dinner at Gombe and relax, all set for your journey onwards tomorrow. So we are 1 week into our 2 week itinerary and we've already done so much in Malacca, Kuala Lumpur and Cameron Highlands. We've seen Malacca's UNESCO Centre, explored its history, culture and of course, its food. We've taken on the capital, learning, experiencing and eating the cuisines of its three cultures and seen its iconic buildings, its green areas, shopping and more. We've made our way up to the Cameron Highlands, enjoyed the tea, strawberries and more. So what's happening in the next week? You'll have to listen to part two of this podcast out next week, where we head onto two of Malaysia's islands, amazing Penang and Langkawi, to really top off this two-week itinerary in an absolutely amazing way. Now, remember, you can find show notes for this episode at diveintomalaysia.com/episode4. There'll be heaps of helpful links and information to help you implement the itinerary we've talked about so far. Now, make sure you subscribe to this channel because next episode, we're finishing off this itinerary and talking all about Penang and Langkawi. You will have a fantastic time with your 2 weeks in Malaysia following this itinerary. I look forward to chatting with you then.
Thanks for listening to Dive Into Malaysia Travel. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast for more travel inspiration, planning advice, and fun about traveling in Malaysia. Don't forget to leave a review so we can continue to bring you the best content. See you next episode.